Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Fitz goes up and makes the game-winning catch! Larry Legend does it again!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Big time run by David Johnson.
It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield. And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
Oh, baby. How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Barrett.
The clock is ticking. And on Thursday, the Arizona Cardinals will be on the clock. It is our draft preview show here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Once again, back together after a little bit of a brief break. Craig Grealoux, Roy Green, and Bertrand Barry. And unlike the two gentlemen that I am sharing the studio with here this afternoon, I did not hear my name called on draft day. B-Train, a third-round pick, 1997. Roy Green, fourth round, 1979. Though back then, Roy, wasn't the draft like, I don't know, 18 rounds, so everyone got drafted, correct?
Yeah, and I didn't hear my name. I had to wait for the Pony Express rider to get there with the message.
Wow. Start with the old jokes already.
Things certainly have changed since then, because now all it is, B-Train, is talking about the drafts and what do the Cardinals do at number 15. Do they move up? Do they move down? Who is number one overall? And, of course, the quarterback conversation dominates a lot of it, as it does here again in 2018.
Without question, and a lot of people talk about the quarterback position, obviously, is one of the more important positions on the field. I look at this group of quarterbacks, none of them impress me as a guy that's going to change your life as far as a franchise is concerned, but they're all good quality quarterbacks, so who's ever in need of a quarterback is probably going to get a good one high in the first round.
Now, since we last left everyone here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, Roy, the Cardinals have gone from no quarterbacks on the roster to four, with the free agent addition specifically of Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon. So whomever the Cardinals do take, and I do expect them to take a quarterback at some point, whether it's 15, we can talk about that here. But certainly the goal, I think, for the Cardinals is whomever that quarterback is, we don't want to see him on the field in 2018.
Oh, without question, and I think that the fact that, as you said, now we have two quarterbacks that are signed on the team means that that sense of urgency for a quarterback, you know, in the first round is not that big of a deal. This is the way I'm looking at it, because I think the Cardinals feel, and I do also, that they have a very good chance of competing with the players they have on the field. But if you bring in a young guy and invest a number one pick in him, you're probably going to have to let him play to get out there and go through his growing pains. And, you know, and in my opinion, this team isn't suited for that, because they have a great, great defense. They have some quality offensive skill players and just a little good play from the quarterback position. Let's remember last year, you know, with our number three quarterback, we went 8-8 with our number three quarterback. So hopefully Sam Bradford is that addition, and that doesn't put that much pressure on the Cardinals to go and try to get one of these guys. Maybe they will. You know, this is just me talking. But I'm like B-Train. I don't think there's a guy in this draft that said, God, if I had him, I can change this entire franchise. I don't think that guy is in this draft. But I do believe that there are a lot of four or five quality guys that you can build on.
Every general manager is looking for that franchise quarterback. Steve Keim, once again, looking for a franchise quarterback. He's been looking for a while now. They got lucky with Carson Palmer, but he has since retired. So once again, quarterback at the forefront. Here's Keim a week ago meeting the media, talking about the importance of that franchise quarterback.
I think it's the holy grail for an organization. I think everybody in this organization, for the most part, the success of their career in some way is attached to their franchise quarterback. If you don't have one, can't find one, a head coach and a general manager's stay is usually not very long. There are 32 teams, and 32 guys don't exist that are considered franchise quarterbacks.
That is General Manager Steve Keim talking on Cardinals Flight Plan, facebook.com/CardinalsFlightPlan. A bi-weekly series of the Cardinals have been dropping this offseason, which is phenomenal. If you have not had a chance to take a look at it, another episode will air on Wednesday. But certainly B-Train, yes, if you don't have a quarterback, and I know as a defensive player you don't like to hear this, but it's true. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And yes, you can go via free agency, but it becomes more expensive, and that's why I think Keim and the other teams are looking for a draft pick, whether it's the first round or second round. It's hard to find that successful long-term solution in the later rounds outside of a Tom Brady, but certainly you need someone that you can groom and have for maybe 7, 8, 9 years.
I look at the quarterback position for the Arizona Cardinals, and I think the Cardinals themselves, Steve Keim and Steve Wilks, have done a great job of addressing that need right now. You have Sam Bradford, you have Mike Glennon in case anything goes wrong that you can play right now. And generally, when you're going into the draft, there are two trains of thoughts as far as how you draft. You either draft a need now guy in the first round, or you go the Guns N' Roses approach, which you have a little patience with the guy that you draft. And I think the fact that they have their guy in Sam Bradford right now, they can go the Guns N' Roses approach. They can have a little patience with that guy. If you take one at 15, he doesn't have to play this year at all. You can groom him, get him acclimated to the NFL. He doesn't have to take those lumps unnecessarily, and he can come in and when he's ready to play, be plugged in and be very successful from the start.
Here are the quarterbacks that everyone has been talking about that everyone expects to be in that first round conversation: Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson. Those first four names, perhaps maybe amongst the first five or six picks. Baker Mayfield has been one name that has been closely associated with the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, that would require General Manager Steve Keim to pull the trigger and move up in the draft from 15. Here is Mayfield on the NFL Network talking about why he believes he's the best of the bunch.
The reason I got here is because I know how to work. And so for me, nothing's been given. Everything's been earned. I had a lot of help on the way. There's no doubt about that. But mental toughness for me, I think, is something I have over those guys. And that can take you a long way.
Now, regardless of the selection process, I look at these five names, and I'll include Lamar Jackson, Roy. Those five names, a lot of them we've seen at higher profile schools, USC, UCLA, Oklahoma, and then Josh Allen, obviously, from Wyoming. What of those five guys, including Lamar Jackson, maybe, that stands out the best to you?
For me, it's Sam Darnold, his whole overall attitude. You know, he's a guy that can move around in the pocket. He can make people miss. He's very accurate downfield. I know people say, well, wait a minute, he threw a lot of interceptions. But, you know, generally they were a guy trying to make plays. For me, Josh Allen, when I look at a guy and an athlete, you know, I'm that guy that, hey, if he has all the intangibles that are needed to play the position, whether he was successful or not before doing it, I think with the proper coaching, it gives him a better chance than anyone else. Say a guy with average arm strength, a guy who moves just okay, a guy who's very not pocket aware, but is, you know, he's very, very accurate, whatever. This guy is outstanding in almost every area as far as for a quarterback needs, and his arm strength is off the chart. He played at a small school. People don't take in consideration his talent around him was not very good as far as the receiver position is done. He's a guy, they say, you know, he's an anomaly without question. He's a guy that you're going to take a chance on if you take number one. But in my opinion, he's worth that risk because of all the athletic ability he has. You know, Mayfield is a guy who's very accurate. But his offense at Oklahoma is not a pro-style offense. So that's an adjustment he's going to have to make. And I know you hate to bring in the off-field, as you said, possibilities, but I think that kind of weighs in when you get a guy in this position. Because my train of thought has always been what a guy is prior to the draft. I mean, they say, you know, money changes him. I don't think it changes a guy. I think it enhances what he's already been. So if a guy who's been getting a lot of trouble doing some kind of wild things, and then you add to the fact that he's even in a bigger spotlight and has more and more money, you know, maybe that is not saying it's going to happen, but that's something that would bring up a red flag to me. But as I said earlier, I think you can put all those guys, and Lamar Jackson, who's totally different because his run set, his running skills, and he can pass the football. But we've seen in the last few years, guys like that have been able to win, you know, a la Russell Wilson, Cam Newton in Carolina. These guys are able to win with that. And both of those guys coming out, they talked about their accuracy wasn't that good, and that's the knock on Lamar Jackson. But as we've all said, all these guys are pretty close. They all have maybe one red flag going up, but they're very similar. But any team that gets any of these five guys, I think, is going to be able to say that we have a great, great chance of having a franchise quarterback in the future. But as far as, like we talked about earlier, I don't think there's a guy that say, hey, this guy's the can't-miss guy.
B-Train, before we get your thoughts, we heard Roy Green bring up Lamar Jackson. Deshaun Watson has been a comparable as far as the athleticism and being able to run. Talking about Lamar Jackson out of Louisville, here is Mike Mayock of NFL.com earlier this week on Doug and Wolf on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM talking about Lamar Jackson, who many have pegged at 15 right. for the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm the most intrigued by Lamar Jackson. Somebody's going to commit to this kid, both philosophically and schematically, because if you draft him, you have to have a plan. I use Bill O'Brien as the example with Deshaun Watson last year in Houston. Although he's behind Deshaun Watson as a thrower, he's ahead of him as a runner. I mean, the quarterback thing is just intriguing.
And former head coach Bruce Arians on the record, B-Train, is saying he likes Lamar Jackson. You pair him up with a David Johnson, and who knows what you have on offense. But big picture me here, as far as the quarterback position, these five names, and again, not what the Cardinals are looking at, but who you like amongst these five, if there is a franchise quarterback out there.
I wouldn't say that he's a franchise quarterback just yet, but give me Lamar Jackson all day long. And think about this for a second. He's the most accomplished of the five guys coming in. Heisman Trophy winner, Heisman Trophy finalist. He's a guy that played in a pro-style offense with Bobby Petrino out there in Louisville. He's a guy that if you get in trouble as far as the protection breaking down, as far as the offensive line is concerned, he can get out of it with his legs. So he's a guy that you can totally mold and morph into whatever you want him to be as a quarterback. I think the accuracy is something that he can improve upon, but I think the fact that he's so athletic, that's not a negative. I think that's a positive for him. And at that position, you need that ability to be able to move around with all the athletic guys like myself coming at him. You want somebody with a little speed and a guy that can get out of pressure. So I just think people knock Lamar Jackson for all the wrong reasons. The fact that he has really done everything that you could ask him to do in college, and only thing he hadn't really done is win a national championship. Well, there's only a few quarterbacks coming out that have won a national championship, and none of them are in the top five, I may add.
And specifically about Lamar Jackson, the one thing with the Arizona Cardinals and new offensive coordinator Mike McCoy, he is big on saying, I'll adapt right. to what you can do as a player, not here's my system and you fit in. So a name that potentially could be with the Cardinals at number 15, or they might decide to try to move up to try to get someone else amongst those top five picks. As far as the strongest arm, well, that's Josh Allen out of Wyoming, and we've heard all of the stories about him being able to throw 65, 70 yards downfield. The accuracy somewhat of a question mark. But here is Josh Allen talking about his football ability, courtesy the Arizona Cardinals flight plan.
I want them to know that I can understand football terminology. Obviously, coming from Wyoming and not playing against, you know, the greatest competition week in and week out, I don't think that has anything to do with, you know, football IQ. And I want them to understand that I have a high football IQ and I love this game. This is the only thing I've ever wanted, just to be an NFL quarterback.
I don't care anything about throwing the ball 70 yards down the field. That's all fine and good. That's great when there's no pads on and there's no pass rush. But can you throw the ball 20 yards down the field in a tight window? That's what I want to be able to see a quarterback be able to do and come in and do that. If you can do that on a consistent basis and throw to a guy when he doesn't appear open, but throw him open, those are the type of intangibles that I think are going to make a great quarterback in the NFL. And you know, the strong arm, there's plenty of strong arm quarterbacks that have come and gone in this league. But can you get into that window, and can you lead a franchise by your presence and by your playmaking ability? Those are the things that are going to matter most.
I'll give you two others, Roy, and that is, can you take a snap from center,
right.
and can you call a play in a huddle and then transfer that and then make the line calls as well, or change it up once you get to the line of scrimmage. A lot of these quarterbacks coming out of college, and everyone will tell you, they don't have that ability. That's why throwing them in the fire, you want them to sit there and wait and kind of learn all of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of intangibles that go along with being a quarterback that you can't measure at the combine. But, you know, that's why I said earlier, you know, Josh Allen's a guy that really intriguing, because he's a guy who who's bet on himself. You know, he didn't get a scholarship out of college. He wrote his letters. He finally got an opportunity. It was a smaller college. He went. He's proven now he's being mentioned as a top guy coming out in the draft. So he's a guy that is willing to learn. He's a guy that's been humbled by the game. I think that the upside is a lot for him, but there are a lot of intangibles. And I think he's a guy who can be taught to throw in those windows that B-Train is on. I saw on film a lot of tight throws that he's made, and he's very intriguing. But don't get me wrong, I'm still not saying he's the guy that at 15 I would take if the Cardinals had a chance.
We talk wide receivers next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Clock is running, 38 seconds and counting. Back to throw goes Palmer. Looks over the middle, throws end zone for Fitz, goes up, and makes the game-winning catch! Larry Legend does it again! Touchdown! Cardinals win!
It's a very exciting time for all of us, you know, to all the Arizona Cardinal fans around the world. It's very exciting because Larry mentioned to me last night that he is coming back.
Certainly news every Cardinals fan wanted to hear this offseason, with the exception maybe of Roy Green, who now all of a sudden sees his spot in all Cardinals receiving records a little bit further down the line, as Larry Fitzgerald will be back for a 15th season. That was head coach Steve Wilks making an announcement live on Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Yes, Larry Fitzgerald is coming back. And by the way, gentlemen, as we talk here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, 14 years ago today, on this Tuesday, the Cardinals made Larry Fitzgerald the number 3 overall pick, and he is still around. Question is, gentlemen, as we continue this draft special, Roy Green, who is behind Larry Fitzgerald at number 2, number 3, number 4? This offense, this team, I should say, has taken a little bit of a hit in that wide receiver room. John Brown, Jerron Brown, both gone. And the Cardinals might look at wide receiver. Well, I don't say might. They will. The question is, will they do it in the first round?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's definitely a possibility there. You know, for me, again, you know, because you're asking my opinion, will there be a receiver taken in the first round? I don't think so. This group of receivers is pretty similar to what we talked about as the quarterback. There are many that are quality receivers, but I don't think there's one difference maker out there. I don't think there's a Larry Fitzgerald. There's a Julio Jones, Antonio Brown. I don't see that kind of
a Roy Green.
Well, definitely not a Roy Green.
Oh,
definitely.
Wow.
I don't see that type of receiver, wow, you know, coming out in this group, but there are a lot of them that are very, very capable that can step in and help a football team. You know, Chad Williams has been working great with the first unit out here now. J.J. Nelson's a back guy we haven't talked about, but we know his potential. But, yeah, the overall depth is not good, and there are some guys here that are available to fill it. I think that everyone's talking about the number one receiver being Ridley from Alabama. And when you think about Alabama, you instantly think about Julio Jones and Amani Cooper, but he's nowhere near the explosive type of receiver those guys are. Yeah, he runs a 4.45 in the 40-yard dash, but when you look at him on film, he doesn't make you stand up in your seat or sit up in your seat and take notice like the previous two great receivers from Alabama. But there are some other guys out there without question. Our own local Christian Kirk is a guy who brings a lot to the table, you know, because he can play both inside and out. He runs a mid, you know, 4.4 range, and he returns kicks. He's a guy that's fearless. I know he knows a lot of football. I actually had an opportunity to work with him a little bit when he was coming out of high school. So he knows a lot of football. You've seen that he made instant impact when he went to Texas A&M. So he's never going to be overwhelmed by it. And as I said, when I worked with him when he was coming out of high school, he's working with all pro quarterbacks and receivers, and he stepped in like he belongs. So he's a guy that's up there to listen. There's a few others, but I'll give you guys a chance to talk a little bit.
Calvin Ridley, 6'3", 189, not very big. He needs to certainly add some strength and some muscle to that frame. Here he is talking on the NFL Network on what he wanted to prove here in the days leading up to the draft and those pre-draft workouts.
I got quickness. You know I got the quickness in the routes and you get out of my breaks, but I just really want to show everybody I am strong and I can gain weight. You know, I am a good player, so I do feel like I'm the best receiver in the draft. You're getting a playmaker. You're going to get somebody who's going to come in right away day one and make plays and, you know, and play right away.
There seems to be a debate between Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore out of Maryland. Moore is about the same size as far as height, but he's a little bit bigger frame. And I know in recent days, all of a sudden, maybe Moore has jumped ahead of Calvin Ridley as far as the number of wide receivers, as far as how you're ranking them. But certainly the Cardinals need to address this position at some point here in the 2018 NFL draft. And at 15, there will be a receiver. Now the question is, do they like them enough to make the call at 15?
I don't think the Cardinals like them enough to take them at 15, but I do believe that there will be at least one receiver going in the first round, because just like with the quarterbacks, they may not be the best players available, but you're going to need that position. Somebody's going to have a dire need at that position, and they're going to take a Calvin Ridley, in my opinion, who is the best receiver available. Now, Christian Kirk, I root for him because he's a local guy, and I think he has a role in the NFL. I think he's going to be more special teams. He's going to be a star in that area, maybe a slot receiver. But then you look at what do the Cardinals need. The Cardinals are going to need a number one receiver. They're going to need a guy a la Larry Fitzgerald, a big physical type receiver that can go up and make those difficult catches. When the ball is in traffic and there are other people competing for it, can you go up there with those Fitz-type hands and just snatch it out of midair? And I don't know if that guy is in the draft this year, but you're going to have to find somebody to come in and at least be a complement to when you actually find that guy that you're looking for.
You know, that guy that you just mentioned with those attributes or Cortland Sutton from SMU.
Okay.
He's a guy who's big. He's 6'4", 6'5", scored a lot of touchdowns. He actually participated on the SMU basketball team. He's very, very athletic, played defensive back before. So he's that guy with that type of skill set. Red area is where he dominates, because you just throw it in the vicinity, he catches. I'm a little as you talked about, and we're talking about guys that are going to help the Cardinals. We're talking about with their first pick. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy that can do it in those regards. As far as route running, he still has a little bit ways to go. He's not as refined as a Ridley or Moore or Kirk as far as route running. But the things you talked about, catching it in traffic, out jumping guys, beating press coverage early, he's a guy that can definitely do that.
Christian Kirk, obviously, we've talked about him from Scottsdale Saguaro High School. It'll be a great story for him to come back home and play for the hometown team. He visited with the Arizona Cardinals and spoke about that visit on the NFL Network.
You know, I love the state of Arizona, born and raised, you know, Valley kid, and I actually had a private visit with them already. I got to sit down with the GM, wide receiver coach, the offensive coordinator, have dinner and whatnot, and, you know, definitely really like their staff and, you know, what they have going on over there. So it would definitely be, you know, surreal if I could go and play there.
The one thing that I find when you start talking about different players and where they're going to go, if you have a situation like a Christian Kirk where you can draft him, maybe not in the first round, but maybe second, third round, one thing you cannot account for is a guy's desire to want to be there. Yes, it's a big deal to be drafted in the NFL, and no matter where you go, that's going to be a big deal. But can you imagine how excited he would be able to come home and play for his hometown team, how much he would want to go out there and bring glory to the hometown team? I think that's a trait that a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. And if you're Christian Kirk and you're the Arizona Cardinals, in the right scenario, that could be a match made in heaven.
Well, DJ Foster, another Scottsdale Saguaro High School kid, comes back and plays for the hometown team. Unlike Christian Kirk, DJ Foster stayed in state for college, went to ASU. Kirk had a great career at Texas A&M, and he's the one guy that these draft picks, regardless of position, if you don't play right away on offense or defense, you better make your mark on special teams. And Kirk showed in college that he can be that return man. Cardinals like DJ Logan, who, you know, has suffered a dislocated wrist in the Hall of Fame game and missed all of last season. Steve Wilks likes him as a punt returner, but they need to fill, whether it's kickoff or punt return, because those two areas last year, Roy, did not give the Cardinals much of anything as far as to set up the offense. And you want that guy that maybe can break a play here or there, and you're not always starting at the 20 or inside the 10-yard line.
And believe me, a lot of teams take a look at that because what teams understand, you know, that's a big, big part of football. Everybody's talking about the best offensive and defensive players, but when teams are drafting players, if they're not their number one overall pick, they're looking for guys. Now, how can this guy help us on special teams? And when a guy has an opportunity to come in and contribute hugely in that particular area, a la a Christian Kirk, you know, T.J. Ford from last year, those guys are actually invaluable. I mean, you can win games, and we've seen it because we've lost games on the other end of the spectrum because we didn't get the big return and another team did. So, yeah, it's an added bonus to a guy like him. It actually increases his stock, his value in this NFL draft because of what he can do on special teams also.
And, of course, wide receiver B-Train, it's a need. It would probably, at least in my opinion, be a little bit greater than some of the other positions because of the future of Larry Fitzgerald. How much longer is he going to play? But when you look at what the Cardinals already have on their roster, we've talked about a couple of names, but David Johnson back. He can be a wide receiver. Ricky Seals-Jones, who's a tight end, but has that wide receiver body, he's starting to make a name for himself as well.
And the one thing that I love about the Arizona Cardinals is you want to bring in somebody that can really complement the quarterback in Sam Bradford. We know that Sam Bradford is a very accurate quarterback. When he's healthy, he's one of the best throwers of the football, is what everybody keeps telling me. Right. So if you can have a guy that can throw the ball down the field, then have some guys that can actually get down the field and actually be able to catch the ball when it's thrown your way.
We are live streaming via the Cardinals' Twitter account, at AZ Cardinals. It is our pre-draft special here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. We have spent the first half of the show talking about the offense. I guess we've got to talk about B-Train's side of the ball. Defense, that's next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
With the fifth pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Patrick Peterson, defensive back, LSU.
Savage throws far side, deflected, picked off Peterson at the 35, runs right to the 30, at the 25-20 on the far side, and knocked out of bounds at the 15-yard line. The ball was tipped and intercepted by Pat P.
Patrick Peterson stabbed the pig out of the air. Did a nice job right there, grabbing it with one hand.
The announcement of Patrick Peterson on draft day and all he has done since then is, well, he's been an all-pro, he's been a pro bowler each of those seasons, the first year on special teams and every year after that at cornerback, and the Cardinals certainly need a cornerback. It's been an often asked question, who is the cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson? As we continue here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Broadcasting from the Cardinals facility in Tempe and via the Cardinals Twitter account, live streaming at AZ Cardinals. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, and Bertram Berry. And if you're going to look defensively at the draft, B-Train, whether it's at 15 or somewhere on day one or day two, certainly cornerback, in light of the news that Tremont Williams, who filled in very well, I wouldn't say filled in, started basically the second half of last season. The Cardinals wanted him back, but the Green Bay Packers gobbled him up in free agency. So the Cardinals, once again, who is the number two cornerback opposite 21?
And I think it's one of the more pressing needs when you look at this draft. People talk about quarterback, but I do believe that cornerback is going to be one of the biggest needs for this team going forward. If you want to play the style that Steve Wilks wants to implement here with the Cardinals, they're going to need that guy that's able to shut down. And if you want to be as aggressive as we've seen him be in his stint in Carolina, you got to have two cornerbacks, not just one, but two, possibly three, that can really cover receivers all over the field. And you're not asking them to do that for 15 seconds or anything like that, but you have to be able to have some ball skills, and it's imperative that they do address this position because it's one that we continue to talk about each and every offseason, who is going to be that guy. And if they can get a young guy that can come in and take that position by the horns and own it, then I think it'll solve a lot of questions that are here with the Cardinals.
You know who else talks about it a lot? Patrick Peterson. He met the media during the offseason. He would like to see the Arizona Cardinals come up with someone on the other side of the field.
I feel if I'm able to be moved around a little bit more, obviously quarterbacks give me a couple more opportunities, and if we can find a solid number two corner to make it kind of difficult for the quarterback to pick and choose which side he want to go on. I think that'll make not only me but the defense a lot better.
Sure, Peterson wants more attention. He wants more balls thrown at him. So, yeah, he would like someone on the other side. But certainly you understand his position, Roy, because if you're able to find someone else, then he will get more activity. But now all of a sudden you've got the entire field maybe not locked down, but a little bit more difficult for opposing quarterbacks to find open receivers.
You know, it makes sense to me. You know, we, as you said, we've always talked about it. We've been talking about this entire offseason about a quarterback. But it would make sense to me if the Cardinals got a number one, a guy that's worthy as a number one pick at cornerback, can make a huge, huge difference, as we just talked about. You know, teams throw the ball almost 70% of the time now. You got to have that other guy that's able to withstand the challenges, you know, of them throwing away from Patrick all the time. You give the defense the opportunity to do more and more things up front now. You know, you can be even more aggressive than we've been in the past, because you know you got two guys that are able to lock down, you know, the team's top two receivers if that opportunity presents itself. So it makes a lot of sense. And Patrick, I think he said a lot in that statement too. You know, we talked about last year how he believed in, you know, the guys that were there, and Brandon Williams that was coming along as the other guy. And he basically said, we need a number two. So in his mind, there's not one on this football team. So in that regard, it will make very good sense for this football team, who's probably going to be, I would say at the beginning of the season, without question, dependent upon that defense to bring in that guy that can step right in and play well at the left or right cornerback position, because Patrick's going to be moving around.
And think about this too, Roy. When you look at Patrick Peterson, there's a little selfishness in there, and I like the selfishness, because if you have another cornerback that they can't throw to all the time, that means he's going to get more opportunities, which means he gets more opportunities to make plays on balls, which means that he gets more postseason accolades. When you start talking about all pro, we know that means a lot to Patrick Peterson. If you don't have numbers, it's very hard to get those type of accolades. So I know he wants more balls thrown his way so that he can show he is that diverse type of player and a guy that could be in recognition for a defensive player of the year and stuff like that. But he's never going to get it just being a shutdown guy that nobody ever throws to.
Cardinals currently have 8 corners on their roster. They added Marcus Williams most recently as far as another guy for depth. And Roy mentioned Brandon Williams. This is a big offseason for him on whether he can finally take the reins at corner like the Cardinals thought when they made him a third-round draft pick a few years ago. As far as the 2018 cornerbacks, here's General Manager Steve Keim talking about the class here that the Cardinals might select from.
I think there's quality at the top, the middle, and the back end of guys who can not only contribute, but contribute early. I mean, there's some polished players in the top part of the draft, in my opinion, and there's some guys that I think have the right traits that you can find in the middle rounds as well.
Some of the bigger names that have been mentioned as far as the cornerback position is concerned, there's Denzel Ward out of Ohio State, Jair Alexander, Louisville, who the Cardinals have certainly, according to some mock drafts, might be having their eye on. And then, of course, we talked about another local kid, not only Christian Kirk in this draft, but Isaiah Oliver out of Colorado went to Phoenix Brophy Prep. So another kid that might be able to come home, and that would be a player that you could be able to get maybe not on day one or day two, but perhaps on Saturday in the middle rounds, because yes, you have a lot of areas of need, but cornerback is certainly one of them. B-Train, another one, is defensive line. The Cardinals now going with a 3-4 as far as what they were, excuse me, I should say a 4-3. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, what does Coach Wilks want to do with their defensive alignments and plugging someone in the middle, perhaps maybe out of Vita Vea, out of Washington, a big body who can get there and stuff the run?
They're going to need somebody to come in and help this group, because the one guy that they have really circled in on and really focused in on is Robert Kamdichie. Is this guy going to take the next step or is he not? I mean, what is he going to do? He looks impressive out here. We've heard this story before. You go out there and you got to slow him down. He's going full speed. He seems to be involved in all these type of things. Yeah, that's great. But what happens when the pads come on? And if he can actually be that guy that he was drafted to be 2 years ago, then a lot of those problems go away. But at this point, you can't necessarily rely on that. So you do have to go in the draft and find some quality depth.
Of course, another name, Rodney Gunter. Big offseason for him. Another guy in that interior on that defensive line that the Cardinals certainly are looking at. And then you talk about linebackers as far as guys who can rush the quarterback. Yes, Chandler Jones is back. Marcus Golden is back. But how healthy is a Marcus Golden going to be coming off the ACL injury? And that's another position, Roy, that perhaps the Cardinals take a look at. And yes, it's defensive end is what the Cardinals call Chandler Jones now and Marcus Golden. But you're looking for guys that go straight up the middle or straight outside looking to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and those guys. And kudos to Marcus Golden, too. I've seen him this offseason. He's been working hard. Said he's probably, well, not probably, he's definitely ahead of schedule. He's a hard worker. He's a guy that we expect a lot from. If we can get him and Chandler both, coming off the edges, you know, that takes care of a lot of problems. But I'm more concerned, as B-Train talked about, was the interior of that defensive line. You know, Kamdichie is a guy, to his credit now, he's had some injuries that have slowed him down. Every time that he was to that point where we thought, okay, here it is, you know, he had an injury with the calf, or lower extremity. So You have to give him a little bit of pass for that. But this has to be his year, without question. And to find another guy that could be inside and could be a definite run stopper, along with Gunter, who had a couple great games this past year, but wasn't as consistent as he want to be. But as you said, Vea from Washington is that guy that everybody understands. He can be plugged in immediately as a run stopper in the National Football League from day one.
6'4", 347 pounds is Vita Vea out of Washington and a former teammate of Buda Baker at Washington. Subscribe to Arizona Cardinals podcasts on Google Play Music, TuneIn, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, The Big Red Rage, and of course this show, The Cardinals Red Sea Report. Coming up next, Kyle Odegaard of EasyCardinals.com joins us as we mock the mock drafts. Who goes number one? Who do the Cardinals select at number 15? Our selections on the other side. It is our draft special on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Washington at the Cardinals' one-yard line. Jeff George, the quarterback, Evan Davis again. He spins it. He fumbles it into the end zone. The Cardinals have it. Out of there comes Aeneas Williams with it. He's on the 10. He's on the 20. He's down the sideline of the 40. He's in midfield. He's going. He's going. He's going.
The late, great Tom Dillon on the call. Aeneas Williams, 104-yard fumble return in 2000. Perhaps it could be argued one of the greatest plays or most impactful plays in Arizona Cardinals history, because that was just days before the Proposition 302 votes that allowed the Arizona Cardinals and the state of Arizona to build University of Phoenix Stadium. And the Cardinals certainly have loved that building and have turned it into one of the best in the NFL. As we continue here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. And speaking of Aeneas Williams, this is pretty cool. On Friday, the Hall of Fame cornerback will announce the Cardinals' second-round selection, while former guard Deuce Latuhi, a two-time Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee, will handle the third-round pick. And then on Saturday, the NFL has done this the last couple of years. You go to exotic or different locations, and for the Cardinals, former wide receiver Frank Sanders and kicker Neil Rackers will be standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, to announce the fourth round selection. So pay attention on Friday and Saturday when the Cardinals will be selecting. Again, 8 total draft picks, including the first round selection at number 15. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, Bertrand Berry, and joined right now by Kyle Odegaard of azcardinals.com, who looks very, very nice for those watching the live stream via the Cardinals Twitter account at azcardinals. Kyle has been busy this offseason. He has been, 20, 25, 30 different mock drafts that you have kind of had your hands on over the last several weeks, several months to try to pinpoint or try to just narrow the gap as far as the number of players that have been associated with the Cardinals, specifically at number 15.
Yeah, and who knows if anybody's even close, but generally when you see all these mock drafts, there is a little bit of a consensus at some point, and there are guys that keep jumping out, a Lamar Jackson, the Josh Jackson cornerback from Iowa. There's Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver from Alabama. There are certain names that kind of keep getting mocked to the Cardinals. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes the Cardinals go somewhere else that nobody even guessed. But those are some of the common names right now.
And a lot of it is just you're trying to find as much information as possible. But there's a lot out there, but how much information can you trust? And as you said, these mock drafts very rarely are accurate at the end of the day, but it does give some food for thought, and it is good pre-draft material for a lot of fans out there.
And at number 15, it's a little bit easier. When the Cardinals were drafting really late in the first round the last few years, obviously the more picks, the harder it is. So at 15, you can maybe narrow it down a little bit more, maybe have five or six names that you have a pretty good idea that are going to be there and might make sense based on the Cardinals' needs. We'll see how accurate it is. I mean, all these names are out there, and we'll see what they do in a few days.
Yeah, a lot of needs for the Arizona Cardinals, of course. Quarterback always pops up. Is it Lamar Jackson? Does Josh Allen slip? General Manager Steve Kahn, when he met the media ahead of the NFL draft, talked about the factors that go into drafting a franchise quarterback.
The biggest issue comes with the supply and demand at the position. Where is a franchise quarterback going to be available? What's the compensation for it? Are you willing to put the franchise in a position to be set back for years if you're not right? I mean, it can be crippling for us if we traded the next couple drafts to go get a player that has never taken a snap and doesn't have success.
Everyone says, oh, you got to move up, draft up. It's, you know, just go get the number five pick. Well, you got to have a partner on the other side, a team that says, okay, well, here's the price tag. And then are you willing to cough up a future first or two future firsts and in whatever you have in this year's draft? But as we go around the room here at number 15 for the Arizona Cardinals, and also I want to get everyone's opinion on who they think the Cleveland Browns will select at number one. Kyle, we'll go with you first as far as the number one pick. And then the Cardinals at number 15.
I still think Sam Darnold will be the guy at number one. I think there's a lot of talk about the other quarterbacks, but as far as kind of being ready, I don't think he's as much of a wild card as a guy like Josh Allen, because he played against better competition and he didn't have the accuracy issues that Allen did. So to me, Darnold would probably be the guy. 15, it's tough to know how the draft will play out, but I think a guy like Ridley would make sense because you do need that receiver. Or depending on how they feel about Lamar Jackson, he's probably going to be the best quarterback there. You know you need a quarterback of the future, so I think somebody like that makes sense, but I think it's Ridley if you don't trade up.
Yeah, and of course, if you do go quarterback, Beatran at number 15, that's with the intention of he's not going to play in 2018.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. If I were to go number one, I'm going Saquon Barkley. I'm sorry. He is the best player available. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you can play this perfectly, because if you look at these quarterbacks, there's really no difference between one and five. You can basically get a guy that you like at any of those top five quarterbacks, and you can plug him in. Why not get the guy that you really want in Saquon Barkley for sure at number one, and whatever guy that you want at four more than likely is still going to be there. So if the Browns play this right, which we haven't seen them do in a lot of years, I would go Saquon Barkley. As far as the Cardinals are concerned, you know I'm a Lamar Jackson guy. I think his upside is so great. What he is able to do from a physical standpoint, and the fact that he did play on a pro style offense, he's coachable. He's a guy that can learn, and he's only going to get better. And I think if you give him a guy like a David Johnson to offset with and give him some receivers to get the ball down the field to, I think he can be a dynamic player in this league.
No defensive player number one?
No,
that's because there's no Notre Dame players available.
Well, now I'm a Quentin Nelson guy. I mean, I do believe that he can change life for any offensive line, but to go number one if you're the Cleveland Browns, I don't think so.
All right, Roy, what number one with the Cleveland Browns, who also have the number four selection as well, or at number 15 if you're general manager Steve Kahn?
He's looking at my notes. he looked at my notes. No question. I go Barkley myself. You know, running back, that dynamic, can both run and catch. He's a guy that you know he's not going to be a can't miss. He's not going to be that guy you draft number one, and he's a bust. And as B-Train alluded to, I mean, we just talked about earlier, you know, there's five or six quarterbacks and all have one glaring weakness. They're all kind of lumped together. They're pretty close. So you're going to get one of them at four, you know, whether it's your guy or not, you're going to get one of them. But I would definitely go Barkley. As far as the Cardinals are concerned, I wouldn't be surprised if they go for the defensive back.
Yeah,
I would like not. You know, I like Alexander from Louisville. He's a guy that runs 4-3. He practices against a pro set all the time, so he understands the dynamic of a pro set. He's a guy that could step out there and be the guy, or the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, a guy who McCoy has already talked about, our offensive coordinator. He generally, you know, likes to work around a guy's skill set. He's not entrenched in, this is my offense, this is the way he's going to do it, so he'd be able to work with him. Coupled with the fact that we got two veteran quarterbacks on the roster, so he wouldn't have to play immediately. So he has an opportunity to learn, to get a grasp of it, and sit there and become that guy that Steve Kam talked about, a franchise quarterback that you can live with for the next 10 or 12 years, but he's not thrown into the fray in his first two and lose all of his confidence, have no success, and people quit on him.
I like wide receiver or cornerback at number 15 for the Cardinals. Gentlemen, if you can get back into the first round somehow because of that fifth-year option that you can have control over, I'm a big fan of Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State, but can you get him at number 47 overall in the second round? The way quarterbacks are flying off the board, you might not be able to. The Cardinals might have to move up into the back half of the first round. Gentlemen, we'll be back here next week to figure out just who did go number one and what do the Cardinals have at number 15 and the rest of the haul from General Manager Steve Keim. We'll do that next week here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Behind the scenes, special thanks to our senior broadcast manager and producer, Jim Omohundro, technical director, Cody Fincher, in-studio coordinators, Jesse Aranda and Grayson Choi. For Bertram Berry, Roy Green, Kyle Odegaard, I'm Craig Riolu. This has been the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Buda Baker with the sack, strip the ball.
Oh, baby!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! Cardinals win!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.